It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Guy Raz. And on the show today, unintended consequences. Ideas about the things we invent to make life better and the outcomes we never see coming. Do you remember, like, the first smart device you got?
Well, I think the Fitbit was the first thing I got that was kind of Internet of Things, like taking real world data and quantifying it for me so I could reflect on it and it could, you know, improve my life, improve my fitness.
And did it? This is Kashmir Hill.
No.
Kashmir is a tech reporter for Gizmodo Media.
I'm specifically focused on privacy. So I spend a lot of time thinking about the way that technology is changing the way that we live and what happens to our data and our information.
Do you remember when you first heard the term Internet of Things? Like, oh, you're going to have a smart fridge that's going to tell you you need more eggs, and you're going to have a smart coffee maker that's going to, you know, tell you how much coffee you're drinking, and everything in your kitchen's going to be connected, and it's going to be awesome. And I'm thinking, that's awesome. It's like those Wallace and Gromit movies where he's like, you know, like springboarded off the bed and then like drops into his breakfast seat and there's the toast and the coffee. You know, I was really, this was exciting to me.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, they would do all this work for you so you would have more free time to do more interesting creative things or watch more Netflix. But yeah, I was kind of imagining my house, anticipating my needs and really taking care of me.
And Kashmir actually got a chance to experience what it would be like to live in an entire home filled with smart devices.
I got a smart toothbrush, a smart coffee maker, a robot vacuum, the Roomba. I bought a smart sex toy.
Except that things didn't go exactly as planned. Kashmir Hill picks up the story from the TED stage.
Being smart means a device can connect to the internet, it can gather data, and it can talk to its owner. But once your appliances can talk to you, who else are they going to be talking to? I wanted to find out, so I went all in and turned my one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco into a smart home. Altogether, I installed 18 internet-connected devices in my home. I also installed a Surya.
Hi, I'm Surya. And I monitored everything the smart home did. I built a special router that let me look at all the network activity.
Surya and I are both journalists. He's not my husband. We just work together at Gizmodo.
Thank you for clarifying. The devices Kashmir bought, we were interested in understanding what they were saying to their manufacturers. But we were also interested in understanding what the home's digital emissions looked like to the internet service provider. We were seeing what her ISP could see, but more importantly, what they could sell.
We ran the experiment for 2 months. In that 2 months, there wasn't a single hour of digital silence in the house. Not even when we went away for a week.
Yeah, it's so true. Based on the data, I knew when you guys woke up, and I knew when you went to bed. I even knew when Kashmir brushed her teeth. The devices Kashmir bought almost all pinged their servers daily. But do you know which device was especially chatty? The Amazon Echo. It contacted its servers every 3 minutes, regardless of whether you were using it or not.
Wow. I'm just wondering here. With all these smart devices, what are we actually giving up?
I mean, so there's a couple of things. I was focused on privacy. There are definitely security concerns by connecting our devices to the internet. Devices are made by companies that have traditionally not been internet companies, so they're not as savvy about internet security. We are exposing ourselves to the possibility of people intruding in our homes through these devices. So that has happened with baby monitors, for example. And so you had hackers that were accessing cameras in babies' rooms, sometimes even able to talk to the babies. So that's really alarming. What I was more concerned about was this tracking of what we're doing in our most intimate spaces and what is eventually done with that data, and just the feeling of being constantly observed in our own homes, how that changes the sanctity of the home.
The devices Kashmir bought range from useful to annoying, but the thing they all had in common was sharing data with the companies that made them. With email service providers and social media, we've long been told that if it's free, you're the product. But with the Internet of Things, it seems, even if you pay, you're still the product. So you really have to ask, who is the true beneficiary of your smart home? You or the company mining you?
So when a smart TV or an Amazon Echo or Google Home or whatever device you have, right, when those devices are pinging the companies and then sending that data back, I mean, they're just building a profile of who we are.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, Roomba that makes my iRobot makes Roomba the smart vacuum. So they know, for example, like how often I vacuum my house and which parts of the house are dirty. The CEO of iRobot at one point was talking to journalists and said, yeah, we actually have access to great data. We have maps of people's homes.
Wow.
And we could potentially sell that to all these, you know, these companies that are getting into the smart home market, like Google and Amazon and Apple. And people who had Roombas flipped out because they hadn't thought about that at all, that their vacuum was sucking up information about their home that could potentially be sold. And iRobot CEO later walked it back and said, oh, you know, we'd never do that without people's consent. But it was one of these wake-ups to the fact that these devices in our homes that don't, you know, they don't look like data collectors. They don't look like cameras. They don't have obvious lenses, that they are watching what we're doing and collecting information about what we're doing. And I think every single company now is thinking, you know, how do we monetize data? Data is the new oil. Like, what can we do to make new revenue streams? And they're looking at data.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, once there are these comprehensive profiles of our behaviors and our habits and our likes and dislikes, I mean, we could be judged before we even walk through the door, like for a bank loan or a job or, you know, or anything.
Right. And I don't think companies don't think of this as nefarious. They say like, oh, we just want to know what you want to buy.
Yeah.
But I think what we've seen with online tracking is that there are nefarious uses of this data, you know, attempts to manipulate the way that we think about the world, try to influence the way that we vote. And it's all happening with profile of us that we don't know about, that's been compiled by a company we've never heard of before. And it's just creating this real paranoia for people because they don't know why they're seeing what they're seeing, but they kind of know that there's this data collection going on. And I think people are getting really worried about how these companies are influencing us and how much access to our data they have.
Kashmir Hill. She's a reporter for Gizmodo Media. You can see Kashmir and Surya's full talk at TED.com.